which of these three do you think was a neighbor? There are, I think, few questions more important than this one. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor? Today's gospel lesson is a story of someone who, because of his actions, has forever after been known as the Good Samaritan. This story is among the most beloved and well-known in all of the New Testament. I would venture to say, even among many who have rarely, if ever, been to church or heard or read Christian scripture, that this story is well-known. But being familiar with something is not always a good thing. There are risks to being familiar. We think we know. We've got this one down. Oh, that same story? We become complacent. Contemplating a passage of scripture, I try to approach it as if for the first time. Part of the pleasure of scripture for me, and I hope for you, is that it continues to be fresh, delivers a new message, speaks to current circumstances. In many commentaries I've read about and homilies I've heard on this parable, including one of my own, the lawyer is presumed to be adversarial and confrontational. But in contemplating the text this time, I didn't see the lawyer that way. He addresses Jesus as teacher, a sign of respect. And on hearing Jesus' initial response, the lawyer pursues the point, I think, not to be argumentative, but out of respect and a desire to truly understand. He asks the question that prompts the parable. Who is my neighbor? So what new can be said about the all-too-familiar parable of the Good Samaritan? The phrase, "he had compassion," occurs only three times in the Gospel of Luke. In the other two instances, it is God's agent, Jesus, and a person who represents God, the father of the prodigal son, who show compassion. For Luke, then, showing compassion is a divine prerogative and a divine act. But do not, for one moment, think that since showing compassion is a divine act and prerogative, that showing compassion precludes you. If you were not here a few weeks ago when I preached on Trinity Sunday, and if you were, please indulge me for a moment, I tried to make it abundantly clear that you are divine, made in the image of God, imbued with divinity. Yes, the Good Samaritan is God's agent, and so are you. A man on his way to Jericho is accosted by thieves, beaten and robbed, and left by the side of the road, presumably to die. Soon after, a priest is walking that same road. A priest, one who has taken vows to love and serve the people, to care for those in need, sees the man and chooses to pass by on the other side. A little later, a Levite is walking that same road. A Levite, one who assists priests at the temple, someone who knows very well what is expected of him when encountering someone in need. He too, when noticing the man left by the side of the road, passes by on the other side. Now along the road comes a Samaritan. It is often assumed that the man who has been beaten is a Jew, though Luke's passage never states this. But we know well the animosity between Jews and Samaritans was ancient and deep. What is clear in Luke's gospel is that when the Samaritan sees the man left to die, he sees only one thing, a person in need of care and compassion. Whether or not the beaten man is a Jew, whether he is rich or poor, whether he is of high or low station, does not matter. The Samaritan does not hesitate to come to the aid of the man in need. He was moved, Luke tells us. And why wouldn't he be? He bandages the wounds of the man left to die, and he washes him with oil and wine, precious goods in the ancient world. He lifts the man onto his donkey and takes him to the nearest inn, and Luke tells us, took care of him. The following morning, he gives the innkeeper money, requesting that the innkeeper do whatever needs to be done to ensure that the man heals. And he tells the innkeeper that any additional costs incurred in caring for the man will be reimbursed when the Samaritan passes by this way again. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor? There are, I think, few more important questions than this one. As I thought about this question over the past several days, the neighbors who immediately became front of mind for me are those on our southern border. Children ripped from parents, siblings torn from siblings, then incarcerated. This is a violation of every moral and religious code with which I am acquainted. The question, who is my neighbor, is always timely. Perhaps in this moment it is paramount. To the extent that you and I do nothing to call out injustice, we are complicit in that injustice. Had the man on his way to Jericho died by the side of the road, both the priest and the Levite would have been complicit in his death. We must take action. We cannot simply pass by on the other side. Love is a noun. More importantly, it is a verb. Love thy neighbor. Our moral compass and moral courage, yours and mine, are needed now more than ever. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And the second is like unto it, second only in sequence, not in significance. Love God, love thy neighbor. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. On these two commandments hangs everything. The acts of love shown by the Good Samaritan should not be so surprising. His acts were the right and only things to do. And yet, in another way, his acts of love were a marvel. As baptized Christians, you and I are called to acts of justice, love, and mercy. Acts that for those who experience them or those who witness them can only be characterized as wondrous. As that lovely American folk hymn reminds us, what wondrous love is this, O my soul, O my soul. What wondrous love is this, O my soul. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.